you worry that you'll never be able to pay off your federal student loans, the light at the end of the tunnel is getting a little brighter. Hi, I'm Rob West. The White House is expected at some point to make a decision about student loan forgiveness, but apparently the Education Department isn't waiting. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. So if you have federal student loans, you need to check your email. The Education Department says it has sent out an email to 22 million borrowers urging them to apply for relief under the existing Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, or PSLF. The program was supposed to provide relief for borrowers working in the public sector after they make 120 payments over 10 years, but even the Education Department admits that up to this point, it's pretty much been a failure. Only about 20% of the more than 1 million applicants are in a position to have their loans forgiven by 2026. Hoping to correct that, the Education Department last year issued a waiver on some of the PSLF requirements, giving to borrowers credit toward loan cancellation. Under the waiver, it doesn't matter what types of federal loans or under which forgiveness program the borrower may have applied. The only requirement is that the loans be consolidated into a direct loan before the waiver expires this October 31st. Before the waiver was issued, all loans had to be consolidated, but any payments made prior to consolidation didn't count toward the 120 needed for forgiveness. That essentially sent millions of borrowers back to square one in meeting the requirements. That has changed now. Under the waiver, around 9 million workers in the public sector could be eligible for debt cancellation in the PSLF program. The trouble is they haven't applied yet, according to a report by the Student Borrower Protection Center. States with the most workers in the public sector include Texas, New York, Florida, and California. So how do you qualify for loan cancellation under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program? Well, first, you have to work for a federal, state, local, or tribal government or a nonprofit organization. By the way, serving in the military is considered federal service. Okay, then you have to be a full-time worker for a qualifying organization. You must also consolidate all federal loans into a direct loan. And finally, you have to make your qualifying 120 payments. The impact of this waiver is potentially huge. It gives borrowers credit for payments made before consolidation on other types of loans, regardless of the payment plan, and for payments made after the October 31st deadline for applying. For example, if you received teacher loan forgiveness, that period of service will count toward PSLF eligibility if you can verify public service employment during that period. Well, certainly this can be confusing, as most government programs are. To find out if you're eligible, you can go to studentaid.gov and log into your account. You can then search through a database to find your employer and determine if your service is eligible for relief under the PSLF program. You can also go to forgivemystudentdebt.org to find out what type of federal student loans you have. Again, direct loans are eligible for PSLF, but other loans must be consolidated into a direct consolidation loan. Now, the next part is critical. You only have until the waiver expires on October 31st to apply and have your previous qualifying payments on other loans count toward the 120 you need for forgiveness under the PSLF program. And there's more good news for some 200,000 borrowers. Washington is now preparing to cancel around $6 billion in federal student loans to settle a class action suit. The plaintiffs argued that their schools defrauded them, which should have entitled them to loan forgiveness, but that the Education Department dragged its feet for years, not granting that relief. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is expected to announce more student loan forgiveness options in the weeks ahead. I know this is all confusing, but what it makes abundantly clear is the need to minimize borrowing for education. All right, your calls are next. The number 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
I refer to your part-time jobs as what you do outside of your home, outside of your family, to generate an income for your family. Your full-time job is what you do within your family. We're on the go consistently, people are hustling, trying to get it. And I just want to remind everybody to whoa, pump your brakes. Make sure that we are not neglecting our families in the process.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Show up at your full-time job, ready to work.
Hello, my name is Todd Friel. I am the host of Wretched Radio, heard right here on American Family Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight Central Standard Time. Not to brag, but Wretched Radio from 10 p.m. till midnight is the single best Christian radio program on American Family Radio at that time period. That's right. We hope that you'll join us Saturday night. See for yourself from 10 p.m. till midnight for Wretched Radio on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Satan has developed an intricate strategy to destroy Christians and overthrow God's kingdom. And he's enlisted a massive army to help carry out his plan. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress unveils the invisible world of demons and spiritual warfare. Join us for an eye-opening study called The Divine Defense, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. So glad you're here today. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call with your financial question today. What's on your mind? We'd love to help you apply God's timeless principles and wisdom to the decisions and choices you're making. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Coming up on the broadcast today, impulsive versus intentional. That's right. As you think about your spending, which word best describes your spending? Is it impulsive spending, or are you intentional with the spending that you do? What does that look like? Well, let's explore that a bit. Experts estimate there are 18 million people in the U.S. who suffer from what's called compulsive buying disorder, literally an addiction to spending. It may be that extreme for you, or maybe not, and yet perhaps you see yourself
tending toward, whether you're on the line or right there in the checkout at your latest retail store, you tend toward impulse spending. Well, we'll talk about that and perhaps some ways you can be a bit more intentional as you think about handling God's money. That plus some emails today that we received in the last couple of days at questions@moneywise.org, and of course, your phone calls. Again, the number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's go to the phones today. Our first call, Monica in Texas. Monica, you go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have some federal student loans, and I was listening to what you were saying about the forgiveness, and I was a teacher for 5 years, and I was on an income-based repayment plan. I had consolidated my loans and was with one company, and then it got changed to another company. And then I stopped working and now stay home with our son.
Yes.
And I had applied for to continue the income-based repayment plan a couple of months ago and was denied because my husband makes too much. He's a firefighter in our town. And anyway, I didn't know if maybe his income would or his working would then apply to the forgiveness as well, since it denied me for the income-based repayment plan.
Yes. Well, so under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, you have to make 120 qualifying payments, but it has to be specifically for working in a certain sector. Was he working for a nonprofit or in a particular school district that was considered low income? Or tell me about the work that he's been doing.
I was the one teaching,
okay.
And I did work for, Title I. I worked for two districts that were Title I, but their culminated years was only 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I worked for another district, which was just not low income, and I worked for them for 3 years.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you would, you know, potentially qualify under the teacher's loan forgiveness. The public service loan forgiveness is specifically for folks that are working for a government or nonprofit employers. And so, you know, those payments that you're talking about, though, don't have to be sequential. So there's a chance that you could get those credited if you were working for a qualifying school. I think the question is just, does the employment that you have qualify for this program? And it would be worth looking into with the Department of Education. There was a lot of changes, specifically under COVID, where they had evaluated all these programs, realized that in many cases they were not being effective, and very few, such a small percentage of people that were applying for these loan forgiveness programs were actually getting them. And so they've actually created some leniencies. So it would be worth looking into, Monica, even though you don't qualify under the income-based repayment because of his income. I would look at whether the school that you've been teaching at does qualify under the teacher's loan forgiveness, and then whether those 5 years could be applied to that. Certainly, if you know, you have some eligibility there, you don't want to miss out on that. So I'd do a bit more digging, contact the U.S. Department of Education to find out specifically in your case and see what you find.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. God bless you. We appreciate you checking in with us today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Joseph in Oklahoma, you go right ahead, sir.
Yes. I recently inherited about $75,000. And I have a small 401k, and I was wondering if I would be better off to in for retirement or spend about $50,000 and become debt free and just invest the $25,000 that's left over.
Yeah, very good. You broke up just a little bit, but let me just make sure I understand the situation. So you inherited some money. About how much did you receive, Joseph?
About $75,000.
Okay. And what is it you're considering doing with it? What are the options you're exploring?
I'm it'll take me about $50,000 to become completely debt free.
Okay. And what would that include? What type of debt do you have today?
I have a car payment. I have a camper payment.
Okay.
And I have another equity loan, basically.
Okay, great. So you could wipe those out with $50,000, and then you'd have about $25,000 left?
Yep.
Okay. And with that, you're wondering, should you go ahead and pay off the debt, and then what to do with the $25,000? Or are you looking at, whether you should invest the whole thing? Which options are you considering?
I'm considering either investing the whole thing into my retirement. Well, actually, it'd be a brokerage account or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or paying off and become debt-free and just investing the $25,000.
Yeah, very good. And then do you have a what I call an emergency fund, Joseph, a liquid reserve right now?
Yes.
Okay. And would that be
about $10,000 in it?
Okay. And what do you spend on a monthly basis, roughly?
Roughly, I spend about $5,000 with food and electric and the whole ball of wax.
Okay. Kids. Yeah. So I would, number one, I'd probably dial into that spending plan just so you have, perhaps a more accurate understanding of what's coming in and going out. You've got a good bit of money flowing through there, so I'd love for you to have a system to not only track that but control the flow of money. In terms of that emergency fund, I'd get that up to a minimum of 3 months' expenses. So that would be $15,000. I'd love the idea, Joseph, of you going ahead and wiping out this debt, so long as that as you recapture the payments that you're currently making on the car and the camper and the equity loan, that you don't allow that just to kind of slip away into additional lifestyle spending. And so I think before you pay that off, it's critical that you go back to that spending plan, perhaps take 30 days to track everything you're spending, both fixed and discretionary. Fixed meaning the things you get a bill for, discretionary the things you don't get a bill for, like eating out or entertainment or buying some clothes or taking a trip, and really get a good handle on what's there and then get a system to control that. Because the challenge is, as much as I love being debt free, so often what happens is those payments go away and that money just slips through our fingers into something else. And I'd love for you to use that with intentionality to either increase your giving, bump up your retirement contributions, or something else. But as long as you do that, I'd say, yeah, let's go ahead and wipe out that debt. And with the $25,000, perhaps you put that in the brokerage account or look at I-bonds right now. Let's talk a bit more off the air, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
To have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Taking your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Whether you want to talk about your spending plan in these challenging times, maybe it's your long-term investments, your giving, your debt repayment, whatever it might be, we'd love to tackle it today. Lines are open, waiting for you. 800-525-7000. Before we take a few more of your questions, let me remind you, it's National Truth for Youth Bible Week here at American Family Radio. You're helping us reach a generation of young people to get the Word of God back in the schools, and we're doing it through Christian students. That's right. You can request one of these Bibles on behalf of your 13-year-old to 18-year-old student who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. This is in partnership with Revival Fires International. Dr. Tim Todd was here on Monday, and so delighted to see the incredible response that you all have had over the last several days. In fact, I just got an update this morning, and the total as of this morning was a little more than 23,000 Bibles have already been requested. These 23,000 Bibles will soon be in the mail on the way to teenagers that will then deliver them to their unsaved friends in school. And so, folks, thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us put the Word of God into the hands of teens. And by the way, not only is the complete New Testament included in the Truth for Youth Bible, but also some really hard-hitting information about the issues of the day that these teens are dealing with that really just speaks right to the things that are going on through full-color comics. And so it's presenting these moral truths and helping them deal with things like suicide and cutting and cyberbullying and all the things that perhaps several years ago we weren't thinking about. Well, they're front and center today, and the Truth for Youth Bible takes it head on. If you've not yet requested one on behalf of your student, or if you're a student listening right now, maybe school hasn't started for you and you're hearing the broadcast and you'd like to request one of these Bibles, we'd love for you to do that right now. Just head to truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com. Or you can call 800-733-4737. 800-733-4737. It's quick. When I requested one at truthforyouth.com for my oldest son, it took less than a minute for us to make sure that one of those Bibles was on the way to the West household. And so we'd love for you to do that right now. Again, head to truthforyouth.com and help us get God's Word back into the schools. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever questions are on your mind. A quick email today. You know, we receive emails all day long at questions@moneywise.org, and we love to tackle them. We have MoneyWise coaches trained, ready to respond to your questions, and they do so with a personal response. Many of them get read on the air as well, like this one from John. He says, I'm a small business owner. How do I tithe on earnings from my business? The gross, my salary, something else? And John, what I would say is, first of all, thank you for your desire to be obedient and faithful in what God has entrusted to you. You know, when we think about our business, It's quite different than the giving that we do personally, because if you tithed on gross receipts, that is, you gave a tenth from the gross that you made, you may not be able to stay in business, depending upon what type of business you're in. Take a gas station, for example. You know, a gas station might only make 2% in profit from the gross amount that they're receiving. And so you give a 10% tithe, you wouldn't be in business very long. So when we have a business, we have a couple of options. If you are controlling the business as an owner, I love that you want to give out of your profits from the business in addition to perhaps the giving that you're doing on your own with the money that you receive personally. Hopefully you're keeping a good set of books so that everything is separate. The business is completely separate from your personal finances. And hopefully you're to a point where you're paying yourself a salary and perhaps on top of that distributions. The key would be to determine at a period in time each year, whether that's annually or quarterly, whatever it might be, what the true profit was for the business during that period of time. So this is the net profit that would be retained in the business after all of the overhead and expenses, and you pay for the products that you're offering. And yes, you pay your salary and the salaries of any other workers or contractors that you have. And you might have some retained earnings or some profit that stays in the business, and you can calculate that over a period of time. That profit would be the amount that if you want to give as a business, that you would tithe on, because that's actually the profit that you received. And then as you pay yourself a salary that comes out prior to that profit, well, that would be income that you'd recognize. That's your increase. And then you could give on that as well. So I think that's the way I would approach it, John. Again, I love this idea that you're using your business not only as a way to bless others and provide a service or a product, but also as an engine for ministry, as a way to be able to give to the Lord. And I think that's tremendous. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. One other quick question before we take our next break. And this one says, from Donald, my wife and I are recently married. I'd like to set up a 529 plan for my kids. For kids we may have, Donald says, if we end up not having kids, can I change the allocation for that money? And Donald, first of all, let me just affirm you as a planner. I love the fact that you're planning for the kids that you may have down the road. However, I wouldn't get quite that far ahead in your planning. Here's what I would do. I would be ready when the Lord blesses you with kids to begin a 529 college savings plan. If you specifically want to save for college, which is great, and certainly better to do it sooner than later, the very best way, in my view, to do it is through a 529 college savings plan. But I would not do that until you have the kids, and here's why. Although you can get the money out without a penalty if they get a scholarship or a grant, if they don't, or you don't have kids, you're going to have to transfer that account to somebody else, yourself or a family member. Probably better just to wait until you have kids. But when you do, I think that's the best vehicle to save. I would start early. And by the way, the best website to determine which 529 plan is the best for you is called savingforcollege.com. We'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
You can raise children who take responsibility for their actions, their attitudes, and their emotions. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Henry Cloud shares practical ways to set limits while still being a loving parent, and tells you how you can raise children that exhibit self-control. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Why do we take an hour a day to talk about money? So we can just make more of it? No, it has nothing to do with that. In fact, we recognize that money decisions are often symptomatic of heart issues. That's not my idea. Jesus said where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, your heart follows your money. And so in many respects, the way we handle our finances is one of the key ways that we work out our spiritual journey. In fact, as I've observed this in counseling families for a couple of decades and answering thousands of questions on the radio, my experience is that your financial journey is one of the key ways that God shapes your spiritual journey. Because when we look to God's Word, we realize quickly that if something is going to dethrone God from first position in our lives, it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. You remember in Jesus' parable of the sower, when he talked about the seeds that fell that were choked out, and the word was prevented from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return. And the disciples said to Jesus, what was it that choked it out? Well, the way I read it, 2.5 perhaps of the 3 reasons he gave were financial. He said it's the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. As we seek worldly pleasures, often it can derail us from pursuing God's best. The key is to put God in his rightful place as Lord of everything, and then to put our finances under his lordship, because here's a little secret, it all belongs to him anyway, and then accept our role as steward or manager and make money a tool to accomplish his purposes. Well, that's entirely different than the way the world approaches it, but it's the right way, and it's the way that will allow us to experience the more joy and freedom and contentment, because we're holding it loosely. We're living simply. And, here's the reality. There's a paradox of prosperity, and that is that the more you have, the more choices you have, and the less real freedom you have. You know, when Julie and I lived in our first one-bedroom apartment, tiny little apartment, when we were first married, well, life was a lot more simple when you have a couple of small closets just to keep all of your earthly possessions. And that doesn't mean that it's bad to have a bigger home and to have a few more things, and especially as your family grows. But it does mean that we need to recognize with all of that comes the time and attention that we have to put toward the things of this world. And we need to make sure that we're always guarding our hearts, because the reality is the way we work out our money is really the training ground of the heart. And God has always been about our hearts. So the question is, can we handle money in a way that actually draws us toward the Father? So we're giving, and we're a part of His giving journey here on earth. We're connected to His activity. We're using it to create memories with our families, and we're using it in a way that allows us to provide. And all of these things that I think are right in line with what God has intended for us. And yes, He wants us to enjoy what He's given us, but it's done in the context of starting on our knees and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I be found faithful in managing your resources? And part of that is answering the lifestyle question. That's right. What is the appropriate lifestyle for you or for me? Well, nobody can tell us that. It'd be great if in the Bible it says, well, you're supposed to live on 78.2% of what I give you. It's not there. And so it causes us to go back to our knees to say, God, what would you have me do? How should I be living? I don't want to take my cues from this world. I don't want to match somebody else's life that I see on social media or keep up with my neighbor or my brother-in-law. I want to have your heart for me. And I think each of us need to decide what that looks like. And when we do, I think that's where we experience God's best. Hey, I'd love to talk about that with you today. We have some lines open. We'd love to hear your question or comment today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. You know, as we think about this idea of lifestyle, let me also say this. You know, the lifestyle choice we make is a large determinant of what you can ultimately commit to eternity through your giving. If anything is going to give it in the way to you being able to give and respond to the leading of the Lord in your generosity, it's going to be the lifestyle that you settle on. It also almost always drives debt decisions. The debt that we take on is often largely driven by the lifestyle that we choose to live at. And so that means that we have to make those lifestyle decisions with great intentionality, not just slipping in to the lifestyle that we have, but deciding through prayer. You know, what we will find is as your income increases over time, your level of spending is almost always going to rise to your level of income unless you protest to the contrary. And so as you perhaps get a bonus or a raise, or you have some additional money, maybe an inheritance, the key is to guard against this idea of allowing lifestyle creep to occur, where your lifestyle just continues to grow alongside your income. Instead, the better approach is to decide with intentionality. Here's the lifestyle God has called us to, and perhaps cap it at some level so that as God provides beyond that, well, that creates more money for your priorities. And I would say, namely giving, perhaps becoming debt-free, certainly saving for the future, but there should be a limit to that as well. And the key is we want the opportunity to experience the freedom and the security and the contentment and the peace of heart and mind that comes from handling God's money well. And so as we approach that, I think for each of us, we need to ask the question, how much is enough? How much is enough? Both for my lifestyle, that is my spending that happens on a monthly basis, but also how much is enough for my accumulation? One of these is a cash flow and a spending decision. The other is really a balance sheet and an accumulation issue. Because in the same way we need to decide how much is enough for our monthly spending, I believe we should set a financial finish line for our long-term savings. It's not about the mindless accumulation of wealth for saving's sake. It really is about a plan that's considered in prayer. God, how much is enough for me for our future? What is it going to take for us to maintain the lifestyle you've called us to in that season where perhaps we're no longer working? It's prudent to save for the future. We should be wise. And I think investing is a part of that. It absolutely has a place. The question is, what is that ultimate number? And once I'm on track to achieve that, well, perhaps then I can redirect toward even additional giving or becoming completely debt-free, all of these things. And as you consider this, what I will encourage you to do is really to try to increase your giving with intentionality over time. The secret here is that when we realize the joy of giving, we'll also realize that it breaks the grip of money over our lives. And here's what I've experienced is that over time, you will experience that joy, and therefore you will find ways to reorder your finances in such a way that you can do even more. Because it's just a blessing to be able to give and be a part of God's activity. That's the way He designed it. Look at the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New. It jumps off the page, God's generosity. For God so loved the world that He gave. And so entering into God's generosity story, what He's doing in the here and the now, is a privilege for us to be a part of. And that's our opportunity today, is to say, God, how can I be connected to where you're at work? Henry Blackaby said, find where God's moving and go there. And we want to do that not only with our time and our attention and our prayer life, but also with the financial resources that we're managing. All right, I hope that's been an encouragement to you today. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Ever wonder what God thinks about abortion? The Bible says God knit us together in our mother's womb. He watched over us as we were woven together in the womb. He saw us before we were born, and every day of our life was recorded in His book before a single day had passed. In the midst of our abortion arguments, maybe we need to remember we're talking about a human being, and the Ten Commandments tell us not to murder. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Just a moment, we'll be taking your calls and questions. 800-525-7000. We've got a couple of lines open. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Also, here in this final segment today, we'll talk about impulse versus intentional spending. Which best describes your spending? Are you impulsive online in the checkout line, or are you intentional? Do you have a spending plan? Have you given every dollar a name, as I like to say, and controlling the flow of money in and out? Well, we'll talk about the downsides of impulse purchases and perhaps how you can be more intentional as you think about handling God's money. Let me also remind you, if you haven't downloaded the MoneyWise app, this is a great opportunity to do it. Some big and exciting changes are coming to the MoneyWise app later this year as we completely relaunched the app with a host of new features. It's the tried and true envelope system for you to manage your money. Also in the app, you'll find all of our content, the podcasts, articles, and videos. The very best content in Christian finance is right there. And you'll find our community as well, where you can post questions, get answers from others on their stewardship journey, and our MoneyWise coaches. Again, you'll find it in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance when you head to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Again, MoneyWise Biblical Finance when you download the MoneyWise app. Also, when you download it, be sure to check with one of our coaches at MoneyWise.org. We have a team of coaches that are trained to come alongside you to help you get set up with your spending plan. They've helped hundreds and hundreds do the same thing. So they'll have some new ideas to share that perhaps could help you get pointed in the right direction, answer your questions, and get ready to deploy your spending plan. It's free of charge. It's something we do as a service here at MoneyWise, and we'd be delighted to help. Just head to MoneyWise.org and click on the community button, and then click connect with a coach, and we'll get you set up with a coach right away. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's begin with line one here, Madeline in Mississippi. You go right ahead. All right. She is not quite ready yet. So let's look at impulse versus intentional spending. It looks like we have several folks in the queue, and we'll be able to get to them here in just a moment. You know, when we think about impulse spending, you know, impulse buying is something that I think in this day and age where we're so preconditioned to be able to having immediate gratification, it's becoming a more difficult decision all the time. The challenge is, if we call it what it is, impulse purchases are hasty decisions. And the Bible warns against those. Proverbs 21:5 reminds us the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. So we've got to recognize them for what they are. Secondly, their immediate gratification. I mentioned that. That means putting the pleasure of the moment ahead of everything else. Well, 1 John 2:15 warns against that. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And they often result in buyer's remorse, which is inconvenient, if not financial costly. If, as believers, we should seek things that don't result in regret. Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. So we certainly don't want to have a buyer's remorse. And then finally, impulse purchases steal money from better causes. Better things that we can use that money for. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. And when we're spending on impulse purchases, well, it's not available to pursue the things that more align with our values and our priorities. So think about that today and instead be intentional rather than impulsive, making a plan, giving every dollar a name, and then controlling the flow of money. And I know you will be thrilled on the other side of that as you see yourself making progress away from impulsive spending. All right, let's head back to the phones. We do have some folks ready to go. Madeline in Mississippi, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm 73, retired. I have a small amount, I guess, in Roth RIA. And I have a traditional IRA, and because my husband was a minister, we moved around. So, and he has a pension.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had rolled over all of my 401ks into my traditional IRA so I could keep up with the RMDs that I have to do.
Okay.
And I have really two questions. Should I take, I don't trust the government right now with all their inflation spending. And, of course, you hear conspiracy theories about them wanting to get into the seniors' pensions and the IRAs that tax them even more.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether I should withdraw the Roth IRA and put it in, like, lockbox or either in a locked safe at home to have liquid money. I do have liquid money as far as savings in a checking account that I have at hand if I should have to get to it. And my concern was with the RMD, I am taking that and putting it in a balanced index fund, and just I'm not using it because I've not had to between my husband's pension. He lives on it, and then I am taking his Social Security and my Social Security, and I have that to do my spending on. So I just, I have my tax advisor that tells me, you know, you need to be spending it, get it out, do whatever you need to do, take trips and so forth. But my brother, who is, knows all, understands a lot of the marketing and all of that, he says leave it there. And, of course, over the last few months, I've not even looked at it. I'm scared to even look to see what I have lost on it.
Yeah. Well, a couple of thoughts here, Madeline. I appreciate that background. Number one is, I certainly understand what you're saying about the headwinds that we have, the challenges we have in this country economically and otherwise with regard to some policy decisions that were made. Certainly, you're right on with the inflation that we have, although I think it peaked last month and we've already seen evidence that it's starting to come down. It's going to be a slow decline and it's going to be at an elevated level for some time. The market, in anticipation of that inflation reverting closer to what our target is, has already responded very positively. I think we could have another down leg in the market here if we were to slip into a recession. I think because of the strong labor market and a few other things, we still see that this economy is very strong. But I agree with you. We have some challenges, namely the spending that we've done and the debt that we've run up in this country that is ultimately we're going to have to deal with. With regard to how you should approach this, I still think, especially in light of inflation, Madeline, with any money that you don't need, I would keep it invested. I think that's the very best way for you to overcome the effects of inflation and keep this money growing. I mean, you can see what happened. You know, folks that when the market was down 20% just scrambled and pulled it out and went to cash. You know, they've missed about half or more of that recovery in this point. Now, again, it could turn down again, but what we know is, based on history, the market will recover well before the economy recovers. And so it's not a time to go to cash, in my view. I think investing with a properly diversified portfolio is the best way to go in the future. So I'd start with your spending plan, and determine how much money you need. And then anything that you don't need, I wouldn't be pulling it out and putting it in cash or a lockbox or anything like that. I'd leave it invested in a balanced portfolio that's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance. And then with your RMDs, obviously you've got to get that money out. And if you don't need it, you could just kind of shore up your emergency fund. Another option to look at, Madeline, would be to use what's called a qualified charitable distribution. So you can satisfy that required minimum by sending it directly to your church or a charity. And if you were going to do some giving out of cash, perhaps instead of the cash, you hold on to the cash and just do the giving directly out of your IRA to satisfy that required minimum. The ministry or your church gets the full amount. You don't recognize it as income, which is a blessing to them. You satisfy the RMD, and then if you didn't need the money anyway, then you know all things are equal at that point. If you did need the money, then you could backfill by pulling it out of savings instead of making that gift out of cash. So I think I would stay invested, especially if you don't need the money. I'd leave it right there. I would look at your statements. I'd be talking to your advisor about your investment plan, but I would consider that qualified charitable distribution as one option. We appreciate your call today. We'll ask the Lord to give you some wisdom as you make these decisions, and may God bless you. Carol in Oklahoma, just about 30 seconds left. How can I help you?
Property title insurance is being promoted a lot today. We're told that's the fastest growing crime, and we have to have separate insurance for a property title. Can you just give us advice on that? And if not, other safety procedures.
Yeah, very good, Carol. Well, this is not something you need. It is being marketed very heavily as what's called title lock insurance. Bottom line is nobody can lock your title. If you're concerned about it, I'd go down to the county office and ask them to alert you if any changes were made. But if somebody fraudulently changed your title, it's fraud. It wouldn't hold up in court. They couldn't foreclose. They can't take the property. It's just a way for somebody to get a subscription or a service that you're paying them for that's really unnecessary. So I wouldn't be concerned about it. I certainly wouldn't buy property title insurance or title lock insurance. It doesn't do anything you can't do on your own. And contact your county deeds office. Ask them to put an alert if there's any changes made to your deed, and that will cover it, and there's no cost to it. Carol, thanks for your call today. Folks, that's going to do it for us. So delighted to have you along with us today on MoneyWise Live. Thank you to Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland. Hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll be here to do it all over again as we round out another week here on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.